are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's been a beautiful week of talking about the transformative power of the grace of God. Today we're speaking about grace that saves. And life's challenges can feel overwhelming, but God's grace sustains us through every trial and every triumph. And it gives us the strength to persevere, the wisdom to endure, and the hope to keep moving forward. Today, we're going to be talking about how we can lean into His grace as our source of power and peace in every season of life. Pastor Kane Cross joins us one more time this week as we take this deep dive. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us one more time. God bless you. We're so thankful to have you here with us this morning.
Good morning, Wongi. Good morning to the listeners. It's a blessing to be here.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful Friday. God bless.
It is. It is. Happy preparation day to you. Very excited about this. And I'm sure we're going to have a beautiful climax to this conversation about the transformative power of our God's grace. Now, Pastor, how does God's grace provide strength during times of difficulty? This sounds like an elementary question, but in a very practical way, how do we experience His grace during those difficult times?
Yes, God's grace is for us, and we experience it daily. Walk with God when we go through difficult times. We are in the fog, or we are in the maze, and we don't see the light or the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in that times that God's grace is there for us. Through people encouraging us, through us interacting with His Word, and drawing strength in those difficult times.
Mm.
And sometimes just through God surprising us. You know, I've been in challenging times before, and, you know, sometimes we forget what we prayed for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then God gives us that answer, not the response to the difficulty, but an answer to prayer. And it reminds us that He still cares. He still answers us. He's still there for us.
I love that. And I really love when God answers a prayer that you forgot that you had prayed.
Yes. And we often forget. But Paul's experience is really outstanding. You know, his difficulty, because it was not an experience, it was a condition. And there is people with conditions that is listening now, that has been praying for years, that has accepted the thorn in the flesh. And, you know, when we look back at God has granted us grace, and how we don't look like things that we go through.
Mm.
People look at us, they say, "Wow, you're looking so wonderful, Wongi."
Mm.
And yes, we say thank you inside. We say, "Oh, thank you that I am looking so wonderful."
Thank you that I don't look like what I've been through. I don't look like what I am going through.
Exactly.
That is definitely a grace from God. Now, what does the Bible teach about relying on grace rather than our own efforts? Sure, because that inclination that we have, that desire that we have to perform and to act like good people, can sometimes be overwhelming. So what does the Bible teach us about relying on grace rather than relying on our own efforts?
Yes. So grace is an expression of God's love towards us, because God is love. And God has many attributes: His kindness, His long-suffering, His mercy towards us, and grace is one of those. And the Bible is telling us that, you know, we basically do an injustice to us, ourselves, when we rely on the arm of flesh. You know what the Bible says: cursed is those who lean on the arm of flesh. And there's only two ways. There's not a middle road. There's either you trust God, or you trust your process. And we know what happened to the Israelites and what happened in our personal life, where we trust our own processes and our own wisdom. And we go around that mountain until we just surrender and say, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I've tried it my way, but it's not working. I'm in a worse mess than when or this challenge. So cursed is the man. And then the Bible continues to say, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is our strong tower.
Mm,
And when we are under the banner of the Lord, we are also under the banner of grace.
Amen.
We are automatically under the banner of His grace, you know. And I always say, Bongi, that I am in the care and keeping of God. You know, when we have babies in our home, we are super careful.
Yeah.
We hold them dear. We are careful and meticulous with every little detail. And I'm God's baby.
Indeed. But now, if we're relying on our grace rather than our own efforts, does that mean that I play no part in anything? Do I just sit back and let God do all the work? Or do I also have a role to play in this whole thing?
No, indeed not. We have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. You see, faith is, there's a fine margin between faith and presumption. The presumptuous person is overconfident and he's entitled and, you know, name it and claim it and all the things that we hear. But the person of faith, of real childlike faith, trusting in a God that has done it before, know that we need to do our part. We need to do it right. We need to trust the process and work the process. And God will prepare the way, but God also prepare me, you see.
Mm.
He also prepared before that path, to walk in that path. And there is a process. It's not just a magic wand experience.
So that line, that distinction between presumption and faith, I think is a difficult one for us to navigate, because at what point do I say, okay, at this, now I'm just being presumptuous. Now I'm just, being entitled to what I think God should give me. But at the same time, when I pray in faith, I must believe that He's going to give me what I'm asking for. How do I draw the line between the two?
Yes, it is important, Bongi, for us to know that real faith, godly faith, is not demanding. It's not coming with what I want and what I expect and what I deserve, in essence. The words of Jesus is always ringing in our ears when we should always ring in our ears when we pray. He asks in Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass by, but not my way, but thy way, Lord." You know, thy will be done. And that is a difference. It's not really in a set of things. It's in an attitude.
Right.
It's an attitude of coming to God. It's an attitude, because you can do all the right noises and say all the right amens, and pray through the night with everybody. But if our attitude is not that of childlikeness, of being fully in this God, which care and keeping I am, then your disappointment is being manufactured yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it's a lack of self-awareness that for some of us, maybe we can't even tell that I am being presumptuous here. I'm speaking as though God owes me this thing that I'm praying for. And we think we're coming in faith. We think we're coming and claiming the promises in the word, and we're reciting scripture where God promises us that, you know, if you, whatever we pray for in faith, if you believe, then you've already received it. I think some of us come with that mindset, and we think we're coming in faith. We don't even recognize that this is my own plan. This is not God's plan for me. This is me trying to impose my plan on God instead of the other way around. And we don't recognize that. I think there's a need for some kind of self-awareness. And I don't know, I guess that's another thing that we can pray for. Let God reveal to me when I am being presumptuous, because sometimes I can fool myself.
Yes, one of the verses that speaks about this, just to add quickly, Psalms 4, David declared, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord delivered him."
Mm.
Not from his problem, first from his fears. can be in right standing with us, where there is a severed relationship, because yeah. fear is not God, you know.
Yeah.
And then called upon the Lord, and God saved him from all his troubles. Can you see the process?
Mm, mm.
So I also need to examine myself if there's anything in my life, because Isaiah 59 say that God's ear is not deaf, he is not short, but there is things that is become stone walls between us and God. That is still there, that is hindering the blessing, that yeah. is robbing us. We in the presence of God, like Judas, but not getting the blessings of God, you know. And God wish that we can just come to our senses. Oh, how much he love us. Yeah. I mean, he love us so much. We know us. We in his presence. We do our programs, our preachings, our everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he's holding on that we will do it. We will do it right next time. We will come to our senses.
Sure. Now, why is it important, Pastor, to remind ourselves every single day of the grace of God?
Yes, important to remind ourselves. It's therapeutic, actually, number one. It's therapeutic, because remember, prayer, the Bible has its own therapy. And if you get into those methodologies and those practices of the biblical practice of living, you are going through a process of therapy. Yeah. Prayer is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking the word, reciting the Psalms, using music and all of that. And of course, one of the things that has blessed me with that is the knowledge. And I'm quoting Steps to Christ, page 68 for you today.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the matchless run, God has encircled the whole world with an atmosphere of grace, as real air which circulates around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Now that need a moment to take in.
Yeah.
But you all who choose to breathe this life-giving atmosphere will live and grow up to the stature of men and women in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All who choose. So it's So it's important to remind ourselves daily of God's grace. But it's also important to allow God's grace to flow through us by my choices. Waking up early enough, for instance, that I can spend quality time with God. And somebody said many people will miss heaven because of late sleeping or because of not spending time with God, quality time in the morning, you know, laying the foundation, warfaring, getting your victories. My victories is gained in the prayer chamber, not on the playing field, you know. And that, what need to then remind me that who I am and my identity move me, and eventually it becomes a default, you know, that I am under his grace.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, as we're wrapping up, Pastor, how can trusting in grace deepen our faith during times of uncertainty?
Yes. And of course, each one of us operates with a bank of faith.
Yeah.
You know, all do, and every day, and I would say that grace is the currency, or one of the currencies God is using to fill that bank, that bank is filled. And one quotation that come to mind is that we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teachings in our past history.
Amen.
So, when we trusting in God is, and the Holy Spirit is faithful, Bongi, to remind us of the past blessings of God. Do not fear, I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that is what God is promising us. And this bank of faith changes us from, oh, he of little faith, to unwavering an unflinching faith, you see, where for the faith that cannot, that will not move though pressed by many a foe. And that is the faith that we all long for. And sometimes we just fall short. We all do. And that's so beautiful that God still picks us up. His grace is then sufficient for us when we fall.
That's good. That's good.
Pastor, last, can I give you my last thought?
Yes, please.
Before we wrap up?
Please, please. I was going to ask you to please just give us a conclusion and some key points that you want to make sure that we don't forget, not just from our conversation today, but from the whole week. Some key points as well.
Of course. Of course. So when the grace of God reigns within in the soul, within us, we are then surrounded by that atmosphere of faith and courage and Christ-like love, an atmosphere that's invigorating to the spirit life and to all who inhale it. In other words, now that I am perfumed with the atmosphere of Christ. Wherever I go, I will then also contaminate, if you can use that word, other people. I will then influence other people. I will then spread the aroma of grace, you know. And it's like, I always imagine it like something beautiful, like a fruit, a ripe fruit that's dripping, you know, the sweet smell of a nice ripe fruit that's dripping, and you can smell the aroma of the sweetness of that nectar. And that's how I imagine grace. That's how I experience it also. It's sweet, it's beautiful, it's contagious, it enrich others, it lifts people up. So yes, God is gracious, but he also gives us his sanctifying grace. Remember we spoke about that. His sanctifying grace. Welcome grace. We mustn't forget that, because we only want the grace that we call marvelous and amazing and matchless. But that is also God's grace. It's marvelous when Paul accepted the thorn in the flesh. It's amazing when we embrace our problem and say, God, you counted me worthy to put this on me, because I'm in your care and keeping, I'm under your grace. And now it's happening. Okay, I'm not gonna go through the whole emotional roller coaster every time I have a problem. I will just sober up and say, Lord, you counted me worthy. I embrace it. Lord, what's next? What must I learn from this? Yeah. Let me learn from this.
Beautiful.
Yes. So that is what God wants for us. And in closing, Wongi, God has given us, each one of us, have received a bitter cup. Each one of us that is en route to heaven, that is under his sanctifying grace, in his workshop of grace, we have received a bitter cup, and we can make it worse by murmuring, repining, and complaining.
Yes.
Or we can make it better by accepting it, by embracing it, by praising God through the storm. In the waiting room, while we wait for 10 years, still praising in that waiting room, knowing that the door will open at his time and his pleasure. And when we refuse it, we will go again through it. Somebody told me, you know what, Pastor, I ran away from that situation. I'm in another town now. Now I'm having a similar situation. Yeah. And I read this and this thoughts. And then we will go again. Need that. There's some parts of our character, Bongi, that need that disappointment, that embarrassment. We need that embarrassment. Some parts of us need that bankruptcy, God forbid, but we need that adverse experiences so that we can become less and Christ can become more. That's grace. That is grace at the higher level. Wow.
That's a conversation that a lot of us don't want to have, but that is the fact. And I think we have emphasized that throughout the course of our conversations this week. And I'm so grateful for that, because I think we go through things and we start to wonder if grace is exclusive to other people. Have I been skipped? But learning that, no, even those blessings withdrawn or blessings withheld, they are also a grace of God. And like you're saying, sure, that those difficulties are necessary sometimes for our own salvation, which is God's ultimate goal for us. His goal is not our comfort and our convenience on this earth.
Yes, definitely, Bongi. My parting shot would be, when we reach heaven, the worst experiences, the greatest stumbling blocks, looking back in hindsight then, we will see it is our greatest blessings.
Amen.
So a blessing withheld is a blessing received.
Amen.
Might have dodged a bullet there, you know, with that blessing.
Yep.
And so on. So that is what God knows the best. We are in the valley. He's right on top of the hill. He can see the end from the beginning. And if we would understand that he know it all, we would trust him completely with our life and say, lead on, O King Eternal. Lead my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate your time. God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath.
To you, my sister. God bless you. All Amen. The best.
Amen. Amen.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.